Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
It's time for some political theater. It's time to send in the clowns because the day has arrived, the time has arrived, when the January 6th hearings are set to begin. And I thought before anybody watches any of it on any of the stations that are stupid enough to carry this charade, and that's what it is, we would break this down a little bit. Now, first, let me say this. For the people who actually broke in to the Capitol building on the 6th, absolutely there should be some price to pay, and there was. They've already been arrested. They've already served time, some of them, without any kind of a bond. But this hearing that is taking place now has nothing to do with those people nor the law. It has to do with political theater and an attempt by the left and a few on the right to prevent Donald Trump from running for president again. That's it. That's all that these hearings set out to do. And if you don't believe me, ask yourself a question. Since when in our history have we ever held these type of congressional hearings without allowing the other side to speak? Now, they're going to say, well, we have a couple of Republicans on here. Yes, but you're siding with the Democrats on this. This is the exact same thing as saying, well, we're going to have a trial, but we're not going to have any defense. So this is, theoretically, this is just a witch hunt. That's all this is. And they subpoenaed some people who refused to come in. Peter Navarro, a 71-year-old man, or 72, I don't know how old, was handcuffed and shackled. Handcuffed and shackled by the FBI because he did not obey a subpoena to appear. Really? And they say, well, you can't do that. I mean, that's the law. The law says if you're subpoenaed, you go in. Well, no one told this to Eric Holder, apparently, during the Obama years, because Eric Holder was subpoenaed before Congress. Do you remember that? When they had their nice Fast and Furious program where they virtually gave guns to drug cartels in Mexico. And the result was a dead FBI agent who was killed with the very guns that the Obama administration handed out. And when Eric Holder was told, you're going to have to come before Congress and there's going to be a hearing on this, he said, no, I don't think so. Executive privilege. I don't have to talk about anything that the president talked to me about because I'm just exerting executive privilege. Never one time did anyone suggest he should be arrested. Never one time did anyone meet him in an airport and throw him into leg shackles like they did Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro said the same thing. I'll just executive privilege. Anything that I said to the president or the president said to me is executive privilege. And now all of a sudden, the left are saying, well, the current president can take those rights away from the former president. No, you can't. No, you can't. Folks, this is a witch hunt. There is absolutely no sense to this. Peter Navarro, by the way, was not around on January 6th. He was nowhere near the Capitol on January 6th. And he doesn't know anything about it. They just wanted to make a theatrical performance of it. Simple as that. There's nothing that hasn't already been decided in a court of law. Nothing. What's not been decided? People have already been arrested. People have already been in jail for over a year now. But now they want to get to the heart of it, because their contention is Donald Trump, by saying march to the Capitol and make your voices heard in a peaceful manner, was in fact blowing a dog whistle saying go storm the Capitol and let's start the insurrection. He was the leader of an insurrectionist mob. Really? So those words, go to the Capitol, make your voices heard, do it in a peaceful manner, you interpret as insurrection. Everybody storm the Capitol. That's your belief. Well, okay, if that's your belief, then Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago, told people to pick up arms and hit the streets. She's still in office. But I'll go you one better. I'll go you one better. The other day, a crazed individual attempted to kidnap and murder Justice Kavanaugh. Pretty near his house. When he turned himself into the FBI, when they realized who he was and what was happening, he said, yeah, my intent was to kill him. Well, his intent was to do a little more than that, because he had with him hammers, he had a crowbar, he had rope, he had all kinds of things. He was going to kidnap Justice Kavanaugh and then murder him. What does this have to do with the January 6th hearings? Well, I'll tell you what. About a year ago, maybe a little more than a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, Chuck Schumer stood at the podium and threatened very same people, the right-wing Supreme Court justices, and said, if you don't rule the way we want you to rule, this is going to be bad for you. You are going to suffer the consequences. You have opened up a can of worms, and you are going to suffer for your decisions. A, that's illegal. B, these are people who are appointed for life. Supreme Court justices are a lifetime appointee. So please tell me, Chuck, how they were going to suffer. What is it that you were going to do to them? Fire them? You can't. Yell at them, they don't care. What were you going to do, Chuck? How are they going to suffer? And how is your words, you will suffer the consequences, not a call to action? Maybe that guy who has kidnapping and murder on his mind said, I'm going to make sure that Chuck Schumer's words ring true. How do you know that didn't happen, Chuck? How come that's not a call for violence? How come when Lori Lightfoot says pick up arms and hit the streets, that's not a call for violence? How come when Maxine Waters says when you see people who voted for Trump in a restaurant, at a gas station, at a supermarket, you run them out of there? You tell them they're not welcome. That's not a call for violence. Donald Trump saying go to the Capitol, this is a protest, and make your voices heard in a peaceful manner, that is a call for violence, huh? That's a pretty hard argument to make. Now, let me tell you another reason they're having these hearings, and that is self-preservation. The reason it's self-preservation is because many of the people who are on this committee lied to you, and they lied to the FBI. Well, the FBI don't care because they were in on it, but they lied to you. Adam Schiff lied to you and said, I've seen irrefutable evidence that Donald Trump is in collusion with Russia, when there was none. None. The entire impeachments were based on lies and known lies. That's really an insurrection. See, when you are attempting to unseat a duly elected president, knowingly and willingly, through lies that you yourself invented, that's a planned insurrection. You're planning on taking over the presidency from the current president who was duly elected. That's a plan. That's a plot. Now let's be very, very honest. FBI wants to call Peter Navarro. I mean, the commission wants to call Peter Navarro so bad that the FBI arrests him when he doesn't show up. Oh, they wanted Steve Bannon. They wanted all these people. They wanted all the Trump supporters. So for days and days and days, they can just beat them up and say, your president was planning an insurrection. And everyone will cry and say, I love the United States so much, and I'm so, so shocked this happened here, and we can never let it happen again, when you know you're lying. There was no insurrection that day. There were a bunch of people who got a little overly excited, didn't hurt anybody, broke into the Capitol, shouldn't have, and should be arrested, and certainly should do their time. The rest of the people were let in. We have video of it. You know what else we have video of? We have a man standing in the center of a mob saying, we have to go into the Capitol. And people saying, Fed, don't listen to him. He's a Fed. And he's saying, no, we'll never be heard unless we go into the Capitol. They can't even hear us out here. We have to march in. Come on, guys, let's go. That man, they don't want to talk to. They have his face on video. They have his name. They have him. They have no interest in talking to him. Ask yourself this very important question. If you are so interested in what happened on January 6th, and you have clear video evidence of a man screaming at the top of his lungs for people to join him as we break into the Capitol, that's the rabble-rouser, right? That's the leader. That's the guy who's whipping the crowd into a fury. That's the guy who's making the suggestion. Why do you have no interest in him? Why do you have absolutely no interest in talking to that man? How come he's not in leg irons? How come he's not in shackles? How come he's not being brought before this committee? I'll tell you why. Because he was a plant. That's why. He was a plant. He was put there to attempt to coerce people into storming that Capitol. That's the only possible solution. What other solution is there? What other solution is there? Let's just say that you're investigating a burglary. And you clearly see a guy unmasked outside someone's house or someone's business saying, come on, guys, break in. Hurry up. I'll wait out here. Come on, go. Let's go. We got to do this right now. And you catch the guys that broke in. And you have this other guy on camera, his face, his name, everything. You're not going to arrest him? You're not going to bring him in and say, well, obviously you're the ringleader. Obviously you're a major part of this burglary. So we need to talk to you. Yeah, of course you would. He's not being talked to because they knew he was there because they put him there. This is a circus. What you're about to see actually is an American tragedy. That's what it is. It's an American tragedy. It's a failure by America to recognize that there is one group of people who are trying to take complete control of the United States of America by force. And the best way to do that is to scare any opposition with jail time, threats of taking away their freedoms and their liberties, threats of stripping them of their titles, and they're hoping that the Republicans will say, Trump is not worth all this trouble. They won't do this if we just forget Trump running for office. Why are they so scared of Donald Trump? What makes them so nervous about one man who they say is pathetic and can't get anything right? Why are they so scared of one man that they are willing to do all this? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What makes them that nervous about this particular man? Got to be something. Even some of the Republicans are running scared on him. Liz Cheney. She's so upset by Donald Trump that she literally says, yes, I do think this was planned. Well, please do tell. See, this is the thing. If you have the strength of your convictions, Liz, how come you didn't insist that there be opposing voices at this hearing? so they could ask some questions like, Ms. Cheney, you went on record saying this was planned. Do you have any evidence? Can I please see that evidence? What makes you convinced that that's the truth? And even if it is the truth, what makes you convinced Donald Trump planned it or had anything whatsoever to do with it? Can I please see a little bit of evidence? You'll see nothing because it does not exist. It does not exist. Or, Ms. Pelosi, how come when Donald Trump offered extra National Guard to guard that Capitol building during these the voting fiasco, you turned it down? How come you said no? You had to know that there was a possibility that some things might get out of hand. How come you turned down extra National Guard? Isn't that your job, to make sure everybody in there is secure? Why did you turn them down, Nancy? Do you have a logical explanation for that? No one's going to ask her that question, because we're not allowed to. This is not a hearing. A hearing is when both sides get to speak. This is a witch hunt. This is a kangaroo court of sorts. This is where the liberals and a couple of phony Republicans get to make a case for which Donald Trump should not be allowed to run for president, because they fear him so much that they would gladly and willingly commit what's close to treason in order to make sure he does not become the president again. Now, I understand why Democrats do not like Republicans. I get it. We stand for everything you don't, everything you want. We're in the way of. But this never happened under George Bush. This never happened under Ronald Reagan to this extent. This, it's not going to happen to any other Republican either. There's a reason, folks. And it's not because Donald Trump is incompetent, because what did he do that was incompetent? Gas was $2 a gallon. We were the number one exporter of fuel and oil. We had peace in the Middle East. ISIS was demolished. Businesses were moving back into the United States. People had more pocket money. The economy was soaring. You would think at least the Democrats would have been honest and said, I don't like Donald Trump. I think he's an arrogant man. I think he's rude. I think he's crude. Some of his stuff worked. Some of his stuff worked, and maybe we can learn a lesson from that, but I don't think he's a great example of a presidential-type person, so we'll learn some lessons from him. Yes, he did some good, and we'll learn from that. And you know, we'll continue some of that in a more professional manner. No, no. Everything he did was evil and wrong. He has to go. He has to go because he showed you very clearly how politics works, and it is dirty as can be. And now these January 6th hearings are going to come up, and for I don't know how many days, and at the taxpayers' expense, you are going to hear left-wing propaganda nonsense with no opportunity, none, to retort. So I know everyone was fascinated with the Johnny Depp trial, right? So let me give you an example. How about if Amber Heard got on that stand and said, Johnny Depp beat the hell out of me almost every night. He was a drug-addicted maniac. He called me every name in the book. He threatened me. He beat me. I had to wear makeup to conceal these things. And when they said, okay, well, we have evidence that that's not true, shut up and sit down. You don't get to speak here. Okay, but we don't care about your footage. Okay, but we have contradictory statements. Nope, I'm sorry. Mr. Depp, you just get to sit there and take it. And then the jury will make a decision whether you're innocent or guilty. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's a just trial? Do you think that's a just hearing? That's not what happened. Both sides got to present themselves. How come both sides not presenting themselves? Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, it's not a trial. You're right, it's not. It's a circus. And it has one mission. And that one mission is to make sure that Donald Trump is not allowed legally to run for president. That's it. That's all this is for. It's not going to work. Warn you ahead of time, it's not going to work. Most of the American people understand that if you don't let the other side talk, it's probably because you have such a weak case that you can't afford to let the other side talk. So nobody's really going to be paying very close attention to this. I mean, anybody could say anything at this point, right? If you don't let the other side talk. You could just have somebody come up there and say, my name is Jack and I sell hot dogs somewhere near the White House, and Donald Trump was chowing down on one saying how he's planning an insurrection. Oh, you heard that with your own ears? Yes, I did. Oh. Nobody gets to ask him a question, right? Nobody says, hey, man, since when? What time was this? Because we can prove where the president was at that. Oh, no. You don't get to ask any questions. We just get to nod and say, oh. What a phony bunch of people you are. What an evil, phony bunch of people you are. Your quest for power is so strong and so complete that you would stomp over your own mothers and fathers if that's what it took. And you've got the FBI on your side. Maybe not the rank and file, because guess what? We have whistleblowers now coming out saying, I was fired. I was literally fired from the FBI for questioning some of these things, saying, well, this didn't happen and this didn't happen. Nope. You're gone, mister. You don't second guess what we say. Ah. Gotcha. So you either groupthink. This is not an investigation. This is a persecution. If you have any evidence that would impede this persecution, you better either keep it to yourself or lie about it, or you're fired. That's it. Now, remember, it was the terrible, terrible rhetoric by the right caused this white supremacist in Buffalo to mow down these poor people in the supermarket. You can blame right-wing propaganda for that. Well, what are we blaming for this attempt on Kavanaugh's life? You know what the Democrats are going to say? It's not my fault. That's just some crazy dude. We can't help what a crazy dude does. Really? Well, I got news for you. Even protesting outside the houses of judges is against the law. I'll tell you why. Because it's an attempt to sway justice. It's an attempt to threaten if you don't get the verdict you want or the results you want. That's why that's not allowed. Okay, you can't just say, oh, well, okay, we got this guy on trial for murder. And we don't like it, so 100 of us are going to go up to the house and make it very clear, you have a really nice family. If you'd like to see that family again, or you wouldn't want something horrible to happen to your little daughter on her way to school, you better make the right decision. We don't allow that in this country. Oh, well, I guess we do now. Because this guy, just hours after admitting his goal was to kill Justice Kavanaugh, and we have our ridiculous Democratic powers that be saying, well, yes, this is very serious, and we're not going to allow this, said, they're all going back to his house to protest. That's okay, though. Merrick Garland said, this is very serious. We are not going to allow such things. Really? Well, they're all protesting back at his house. How do you know one of them don't have a gun? How do you know that? How come you're allowing that when it's against the law? How come? See, but if they had their way, the protesters could have a gun, but obviously Justice Kavanaugh could not. He would be at the mercy of the mob, just like they want you at the mercy of the mob. It's what they want. You think for 1 minute they're not coming for your guns. They want the law-abiding citizen to turn in their gun. Logically, that's the only explanation you could have for what they're saying, because criminals don't follow the law. Do you think there are gangbangers and criminals and people who are going to home invade and shoot people dead for $100 worth of junk out there that says in the morning paper, let me read the morning papers. Oh, we're not allowed to have these guns. I guess I better make my way to the nearest police station and turn it in. Wouldn't want to run afoul of the law. Is that what you honestly think is going to happen? Apparently that's what you think is going to happen. You know who's going to turn in their guns? Law-abiding citizens who say, well, if it's the law, I guess I got to follow it. The criminals are not going to. The criminals are going to say, oh, boy, open season. Let's go to these nice people's houses who probably turned in their guns because they don't want to be criminals. They got no way to defend themselves now, do they? By the time the police gets here, we'll have beat the hell out of the guy, raped his daughter, stole all of his money, killed his dog, and we'll be smoking crack in an alleyway. That's what they want. They want you at their mercy. They want to bend and break you until you bow and genuflect before their rule, because that people they are. They want to tell you what you can drive. They want to tell you what you can eat. They want to tell you what medicine you can and cannot take or will and will not take. They want complete control over your children. They want to own you. You are the house pets of the ruling class. And if you do everything you say, you might get a treat now and then. If you don't, you'll be punished. That's not the way things work in the United States of America. And I'm tired of hearing Joe Biden, who should know better because he put 50 years into being a public servant, say, you don't need an AR-15 to hunt a deer. You're correct. No one's hunting deers with AR-15s. AR-15s is for protection. Protection from the people you're letting out of prison left and right with no bail. And protection from a government who's overstepping its bounds on a daily basis. You see, when our founding fathers came up with the Constitution, it wasn't to allow government to tell us what our rights was. It was to give us the rights that government couldn't take from us. So when you're hearing none of the Constitution is written in rock, yet, no, it is. You're unable to change it. That's what our founding fathers had in mind. They said, if we're going to have a governmental organization, you know there's going to be corruption. You know there's going to be power grab. You know there's going to be evil people who eventually work their way in. So once we get these rights established that no one can take away, not even the government, it will make it safer for the people. Now the government's trying to tell you we're the ones who gave you those rights. Incorrect. And you don't have any power to alter them. So this is where we're at, folks, in this country. We're about to watch, not a hearing, we're about to watch a witch trial. Because in all respects, that's what it is. You know, back in the 1692, if you're accused of being a witch, they basically said, okay, well, listen, you can do one of two things. You can confess now and be hung, or we can torture you half to death or probably to death until you admit that you're a witch, and then we'll hang you. So either way, you're going to get hung. So here's the deal. Do you want to get hung without days and days and days of brutal torture? Or do you want to be stubborn and hang in there and you're still going to be dead? See, there wasn't any of this. You can actually fight back. You can actually say, I'm not a witch, and I have people here who could tell you that there's no way that happened. No, we don't want to hear that. Your two options were given to you. They both lead to the same conclusion. But it's up to you how fast we reach that conclusion. Well, that's what's happening right now with the January 6th hearings. The conclusion will be that Donald Trump incited an insurrection. The goal is, if someone incites an insurrection, they would be ineligible to run for the president. That is exactly what they are trying to pull off, folks. That's why they selected, we selected a couple of Republicans, yeah, after you found out they hate Donald Trump and they agree with you. Jim Jordan has to be at these hearings? No, not allowed. Matt Gaetz has to be at these hearings? No, not allowed. Why? Why aren't they allowed? Because they know they're going to ask questions that you can't answer. How much more obvious do you want to make it to the American people that what's happening here is as fascist as you can possibly imagine? They're going to try to make you think this is a fair and honorable hearing. It's not. We all used to laugh when we heard the stories about the witch trials, right? And oh, well, throw her in the river. If she drowns, she wasn't a witch. She's dead, but she wasn't a witch. And if she floats, she is a witch and we kill her. Well, okay, either way, they're dead. So either way, the minute they accuse you of being a witch, you're dead. Cause of death may be different, but either way, you're dead. So there was no hope that they were going to say, oh, well, it turns out we were wrong. We found some evidence here that she probably isn't a witch. Okay, no, they didn't have that. Well, that's what these hearings are about to be. Period. So don't be shocked when the conclusion comes up. It's predetermined. The results of these hearings is already predetermined. And they're going to come on television and make this big proclamation, Donald J. Trump, by the ruling of this hearing, incited an insurrection, knowingly incited an insurrection on January 6th by saying the following words, go be peaceful. And not one person is going to be allowed to stand up and say, did Chuck Schumer not a year and a half ago say that Justice Kavanaugh was going to pay the ultimate price and he was going to unleash hell and they were going to suffer for their decisions if he didn't, if they didn't come out with a decision that they wanted? Is that not akin to this guy trying to kill him? Didn't he incite violence? How come he's still allowed to hold office? Lori Lightfoot told people to take arms and hit the streets. Is that not inciting an insurrection? How come she's still allowed to hold office? No one's going to ask those questions. You see, at this point, folks, it's plain as the nose on your face, and you either get it or you don't want to get it. But don't pretend that it's not plain. Don't do that, because if you do that, then you totally lose my respect. If a Democrat wants to call up and say, yeah, you're right, it's a sham, but you know what, I don't give a damn because I hate Donald Trump and, you know, that's it. Okay, well, fine. Then you don't give a damn about rights as long as it's somebody you don't like. But do not call me up and say, oh, I think this is fair, because you know it's not. You know what this is. A child would know what this is. A child would know what this is. So if you don't, you're pretending. And I don't have any respect for that. Because eventually they're going to come for you, my friend. If you think for 1 minute this Democratic Party that you currently support, you're safe. There's going to be something they're going to want you to do, and you're going to say, yeah, I don't think I want that. And they're going to say, oh, really? Well, guess what? Because that's the way it always works, folks. They eat their own eventually. That's what brings down every single one of these regimes, is they end up eating their own because their quest for power is so vast they can't have anyone be a second banana. And eventually they turn on their own people. And that will happen here. The good news, if there's any, is that no matter what the conclusion is of this kangaroo hearing, Donald Trump is not going to be prevented from running for president. Simple as that. Overwhelming shellacking is coming in the midterms. And I promise you this, I'm going to hold every single Republican's feet to the fire when they say we are going to open up investigations into Adam Schiff, into James Comey, into all of these people who perpetrated this nonsense, and we're going to find out what the hell happened. You better. because there's absolutely nothing more important than this. If one party can somehow circumvent the rules of elections, the rules of engagement with other politicians, then there's no need to fix an election machine. Why would you call up Dominion and say, can you fix an election machine? Yeah, there's no need to do that. There's no need. You just say, my opponent is this, and it makes him ineligible to run for president, therefore I'm just going to be elected. And then you hold a kangaroo court hearing where they say, yes, now nobody gets to oppose what we say, and we all agree that that man is not fit. So no, sir, you're disqualified, and our candidate wins by proxy. That's fascist regime. Right now, this is fascist country. You don't realize it yet. But right now, what you're seeing right now, this is fascism. It's very low-end fascism, but it's still fascism. And it's getting stronger. Getting stronger. Now, I know a lot of people said to me, do you really think, though, that the Democrats don't care about their constituents? Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you why, because we just had one say, I don't care how high gas goes. I have an electric car. I didn't have to stop for gas one time. I'm sure you do, ma'am, with the taxpayer money that we gave you. But there are people busting their ass in this country who can't afford an electric car. You, by the grace of God, can, because somehow you convince people who you obviously do not care about to vote for you. And you're bleeding them dry off their money. Every spoonful of food you put in your mouth, every drop of heating oil you put in your house, every article of clothing you put on your body was paid for by us. And you openly mock because you don't care. You think in some odd fashion that you are the chosen class and that you can't be put out of power. Well, they're starting to realize, yes, we can. How can we now prevent that from happening? We need to make sure that even the peons and their votes can no longer put us out of power. How do we do this? It's coming, folks. They're plotting it as we speak. How do we remain in power for life? How is it that the Democratic Party, being so ridiculously unpopular that their leader, their president, has a 33% approval rating? How do we stay in power? Persecute the enemy. That's all. Make people feel afraid. If you say, well, you know what, I like Donald Trump, so I think I'll wear my MAGA hat. And the mayors and the councilmen and the senators for your particular area says if you see someone with that hat, you beat the fuck out of them. You see someone with that hat, you have the absolute right to confront them and tear it off their head. You have the absolute right. Then people aren't going to wear them because they're like, well, that's too dangerous. But I bet you can wear an Obama one. I bet you can wear a Black Lives Matter one. I bet you can wear a gay pride sticker. And nobody will touch you. You see, they say we are all for freedom of expression and speech. No, you're not. You're only for freedom of expression and speech if it's the expression you agree with and the speech you agree with. Otherwise, it's open season. And we want you to live in fear that we will do nothing to your attackers or the people who menace you. Just like they're doing with Kavanaugh right now. Well, we had to arrest this guy because he literally had a gun and said, yes, my intention was to kill him. But all these other protesters, this is all illegal. Like I told you, you can't do this. There is a law that says you cannot do this. They're not stopping these people from doing it because they want to send a message to Kavanaugh. You almost bought the farm, buddy. Yeah, we got the guy. Maybe next time we won't get the guy. Maybe next time he'll mysteriously slip through our fingers. Gives you something to think about, doesn't it, Kavanaugh? I mean, we can't catch them all. You don't think that's part of this? They sent a clear message to Kavanaugh. Someone was about to kill you, my friend, and we caught him just in the nick of time. But maybe next time, we won't. Food for thought, Justice Kavanaugh. Food for thought. You don't think that's evil? I think that's evil. And I've had enough of it. If this ridiculous January 6th hearing was to mean anything, both sides of the argument should be heard. And then we can explain to the American people, how come you're not arresting the guy that called for everybody to go into the Capitol, the ringleader? How come you don't want to talk to him? How come he's persona non grata and you don't want to mention his name even? When you clearly have him on video and you have his name and you know who he is, how come he hasn't even been questioned? How come you didn't take those extra guards when the National Guard was offered by Donald Trump? How come you didn't do that? How come we have video of the police allowing people, not just opening the door, waving them in? How come we have video of police doing that? Because you can't answer those questions. You can't even answer the basic question of why Ashley Babbitt was shot dead in the chest, unarmed, and a threat to no one. No, she was a Trump supporter. She was trying to gain entrance into a room. She didn't belong. Therefore, we have the legal right to shoot her in the chest and have her fiancé watch her die. Yeah, she didn't have any weapons. Who cares? Who cares? But if you shoot an intruder coming into your house, you've overstepped your bounds. He only had a machete. You had a gun. That's not fair. We're going to prosecute you. You had no right to take that man's life. You have no proof that he was going to use that machete. He didn't threaten you with it, did he? No, he didn't get a chance to. I blew him away the second I saw, well, you're going to jail. You're a menace to society. Gotcha. See how that works, folks? It's as plain as the nose on your face. I mean, I can't make it plainer than this. So for the one or two liberals who listen to this show, I'm sorry if you don't get this. Then there's something mentally wrong with you. I've always said, and I will continue to say, there's only two types of liberals. There are the cultists who just don't give a damn. If Joe Biden went out and murdered children, you'd say, well, those children were possessed by the devil and he had absolute right to do it, because you're just cult members. Then there are the liberals who say, this guy is a complete idiot. Our party is turning into fascists, but I'm too egotistical to admit I was fooled. So I'm just going to keep up the charade of, no, everything's going wonderful. No, I'm happy. Oh, I know gas is expensive, but it's not that expensive. Oh, I know groceries are expensive, but everything's okay. You are just as bad, because your ego is in the way of saying, I made a horrible mistake. Now, you know how I know that's true? Because you don't get to a 33% approval rating when 50% of the country, if not 55, are liberals, Democrats. That means that a good portion of Democrats and liberals really don't like Biden. And when they are polled about it anonymously, where they can't be ridiculed for being fooled, they tell the truth and say, yeah, it's a disaster. But when you engage someone on social media, they say, oh, no. Oh, no, the economy's wonderful. Everything's just going great. He's such an inspirational leader. Yeah, sure he is. That's because you voted for him and you don't want to look like an idiot. But it's too late for that. Because number one, if you think 81 million people voted for this man, you're already an idiot. And number two, even if that happened, which it did not, they've all deserted him, apparently, or you wouldn't get down to a 33% approval rating, correct? 81 million people vote for him, and now he has a 33% approval rating? Do the math. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to me. Not at all. So if you are going to watch these January 6th hearings, I want you to keep in mind that you're only going to hear the one side of the argument. You're going to be professional wrestling sort of indoctrinated because you're going to hear Liz Cheney say, I'm a Republican. Lie. And I look at this objectively. Lie. And I think in my heart of hearts that I've never seen anything like this in this country. Very good, Liz. Very good. We get it. The good old boy club that you and your dad and everybody else in the damn Rhino Republicans were running, the sham, the scam, the nonsense, Trump put an end to. And you got butthurt over it. So now you have to enact revenge because you want to go back to the Republican Party that pretends to be opposing the Democrats when in reality you're right alongside them and you just say, it doesn't matter. We're all getting paid at the end. We're all making coin at the end. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And just tell the American people we're working hard for them. See, that was the difference. The American people got lulled into a false sense of security. You just assumed everyone up there is working very hard for me until somebody really did come along and work very hard for you. And then we saw how hard he worked. We saw Donald Trump get things done that Washington said, you're not going to be able to get that done in 8 years. If you were elected twice, if you got a second term, you won't get this done. Got it done first year. Well, you'll never be able to get this done. Got it done in 6 months. And pretty soon they started to realize this guy's making us look like an idiot. This guy's outworking us. We don't want to work that hard. If the American people get used to their politicians working this hard for them, they're going to expect us to do it, for God's sake. We got to get rid of this guy. Who does he think he is coming in making us look bad? We had a really good thing going here where we just sit around and do nothing and collect all your taxpayer dollars for ourselves. We can't have him anymore. But what you don't understand that happened under Donald Trump, whether he runs for office or he doesn't, let me tell you what happened under Donald Trump. A decent amount of the American people woke up from their slumber and said, this is the way the country's supposed to be run. And a new breed of Republicans were spawned from it, who said, yeah, this is the path forward. This old Republican Party, who is just a bullshit, do-nothing party, that's not for me. I'm a Trump Republican. I want things done. I'm motivated that this country has to come first. And now the younger Republicans, they're all running for offices, and they're Trump Republicans. I want you to remember that there's so many lies in the Democratic Party, folks, that I couldn't do them if I had a 24-hour show. We have heard endlessly, we must cut our fracking and our oil production because of the earth and the atmosphere. We have to stop. We can't drill as much. And then you go to Saudi Arabia and get on your hands and knees and say, please drill more, please drill more. It's the same earth. We share the same atmosphere. If it's bad to drill here, it's bad to drill there. So why are you on your hands and knees telling them, drill 10 times more than you are drilling? How come we can't drill 10 times more than we were? What's the difference in what location on this earth it's drilled? Green New Dealers, tell me that, huh? So Saudi Arabia does five times its production. Isn't that five times worse for the planet? So if it's going to happen anyway, why doesn't it happen here, where they would lower gasoline to $2 a gallon? I'll tell you why. Because you don't want that to happen. You want to force feed electric cars onto people. End of conversation. That's it. They've admitted it. They've said this is a hard time, but it's going to lead to a necessary transition. Incorrect. Incorrect. Because what they're not telling you is we're going to need this oil still for everything, including the electrical cars. What are you going to do when your battery goes out of your electric car and it's $6,000 to get another one? And the shelf life of these batteries, a couple of years. What are you going to do? Get a fifth job? Well, you'll never have to buy gas again. No, the electricity will be sky high. You won't be able to afford your electric bill. It's not going to be free. Who told you it's going to be free? As it is now, the power companies are saying, we don't have enough grids to handle all the people. We've got to do something. Oh, well, what's going to happen when every car is powered by it? Oh, we don't have to worry because everybody's going to have solar panels. You're not going to heat your house. You're not going to have electric anymore. You know? Yeah. Maybe 100 years from now. But you're force-feeding it to us now instead of a slow transition into something you wanted immediately. And I'll tell you why you want it immediately, because you know you're not going to have power very long. Because regardless of what anyone says, even though they have this maniacal quest for power, the American people are seeing through this. There are going to be evil people who pretend they don't see through it because they're in on it. And there are going to be stubborn people who don't want to admit they're wrong. So they're going to just say everything's fine. But the majority of these people aren't going to do that. The majority of these people, they're going to get in that booth and they are going to vote their wallet, their conscience, and their morality. And it's not going to be for Democrats. The Democratic Party has killed themselves. There is no more Democratic Party, by the way. There is a socialist fascist party, and then there's the Republican Party. That's it. There's one or two Democrats still hanging around. Joe Manchin might be a Democrat. A couple other ones might be Democrats, but they're antiquated. They're like the rhinos of the Republican Party. They're antiquated, old-fashioned, you don't get it. We just need to spend our way out of the economic disaster. And that's what you're going to get, folks. Biden's already saying we need to spend more money. We don't have it. We do not have it. And in the meantime, while we're sending billions and billions and billions of dollars into the Ukraine, guess who's paying for that? And they won't take blame for anything. It's not our fault. As I told you on the last show, the baby formula crisis, not our fault. We didn't know about it. Well, now we can prove. We can prove you did know about it. We can prove you were told way back in February that if you close this factory, you better have a secondary source, because if you do not have a secondary source, you're going to run into the biggest baby formula shortage you've ever seen. And they say, who cares? Who cares? And then when it happened, well, how would I know? I'm not a psychic. You were warned. Oh, and guess what you did? You ran to Australia and said, hey, Australian company, can you up the manufacturing of baby formula? You can? Quick, everybody, all you Democrats, let's run out to buy stock in that company, because guess what's going to happen when we give them carte blanche to produce more and more baby food that we're going to buy? Oh, the stocks are going to rise, and we're all going to get rich. Gee, it's wonderful to be a politician. That's who's running this country. Those are the people who are running this country. When you lose people like Elon Musk and Bill Maher, you know you've lost. These people are not going to vote Democrat. None of these major business owners are going to vote Democrat anymore. Yeah, I'm just going to vote for you to take 80% of my salary. Would you do that? If I was a candidate and you worked wherever and I said, well, here's my campaign pitch. I'm going to take 80% of your salary. You're going to go in that voting booth and vote for me? You're going to say, screw that guy. Taking 80% of my salary. So they're about to get a shellacking. And this is why they are trying so hard. They figure if Donald Trump wins the primary, which he will, we are going to get beaten like never before. At least if Donald Trump doesn't run and somebody else runs, we have a little bit of a chance. And even if we don't win, it still won't be him. Maybe it'll be somebody we can control a little better. Well, here's a news flash. Your fancy January 6th hearings is not going to change anything. There is absolutely no way that you can concoct a story so bizarrely wild that the words, go to the Capitol, go in peace, make your voices heard, but be peaceful, is ever going to be translated into storm the Capitol and cause an insurrection, and I'll come flying in like Superman and take over the presidency even though I didn't win. That's what you're trying to say. You'd have a hard time proving you even won. Because I got a newsflash for you. You didn't. Now, you can call me conspiracy theorist all you want, and you can say there's no evidence. Yes, there is. There's a lot of evidence. There's a ton of evidence. There's a mountain of evidence. If you don't see it, then you don't see it. But unfortunately, it's there. I know it's inconvenient to your argument, but it's there. You didn't win. So you already stole an election. And now you're going to attempt to do it again. Well, let's make sure that they can't run the candidate that would whip our asses. The worst then he can do is maybe give somebody his support, which I would assume would be Ron DeSantis, which they don't like either. But they're not winning. That's why they got to push this old man so hard, because they know they're not winning in 2024 either. Who are they going to run? Kamala Harris? Joe again when he's at 33% approval rating? Pete Buttigieg, who may be one of the top four or five dumbest politicians in the history of the United States of America? Bernie again? The Crypt Keeper? He's not going to win. Hillary? He got nobody. You got nobody. And you know you got nobody. So these January 6th hearings is trying to cut the legs off the Republican Party so that every single Trump Republican says, uh-oh, I might be next. They're going to target me. They're going to throw me in prison. I'm a political enemy. See, that's the thing. They don't want political opponents anymore. If you oppose what they want, you're their enemy. You're not a political opponent. You're an enemy, and that can be punished by prison. That's what they want. That's the only way they can cling to power is by force and threats and fear. And that's what this January 6th hearing is all about, folks. Force, threats, and fear. Here's the good news. It's not going to work. I want this to want it.